Well, take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29, you'll find your place. And then if you're physically able, once you find Proverbs 29, if you'll stand with me for, I'm only going to read a verse here, and then we'll look at a couple, three other passages here during this time. But you follow along. Listen, what you always ought to do when you come to church is bring a heart that God can speak to. And that's the most important thing, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts here this morning. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me read that again. Where there is no vision, the people, that's us, perish. But he that keepeth the law, the word of God, happy is he. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here at New Heights Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor and his family and the commitment they have to this area, their commitment to the world, their heart for church planting, which is so important. And God, I pray, I know I've preached many, many times at many different missions conferences, but I pray that you'd help me this time to be exactly what you would have me to be, to administer this week to these dear people exactly what you want to be preached. And I pray that you'd use it in a very, very special way. Thank you for the missionaries that are here, these special servants. And I pray with their testimony and whatever they do here, and the singing, the praying, and the preaching, all of it will come together, that when this conference is over, that this local church would do more for world evangelization than they've ever done before. Thank you again for the opportunity to preach the word of God. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Then fill me with your spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, first of all, is a very familiar, it's a well-quoted, often preached on verse. Oftentimes it's used as a theme to challenge people to get involved in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a great way and a great challenge to be able to use the verse. I've seen it as a theme of mission conferences. I've seen it on the platforms of churches I've been in. I've seen it in brochures, evangelistic meetings, where there is no vision, the people perish. This verse became very, very special to me and to my church a number of years ago. I've always considered myself to be a Bible preacher. I think people ought to want to hear what God has to say. They're not interested in our opinions or our philosophy. They're interested in what God has to say. So even then, as a young preacher and getting started many years ago, I always said I've never been one with a whole lot of jokes to tell, a whole lot of stories to tell, but I think if you give the people the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and impress upon people's heart and make changes in people's lives. So Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and every kind of meeting that we've always had at Crossroads Baptist Church, we made it a point of making sure that we preach the Word of God. A number of years ago, I was doing what I've done many, many times at Crossroads Baptist Church. I stood up on a Sunday morning with the crowd there that morning, and my heart was kind of burdened about some people I had in the congregation that a particular Sunday that I knew that they needed exactly what I was going to preach. And of course, as a preacher, you never want to single out people, but you're trying to preach the Bible and allow God the Holy Spirit to impress upon that heart. But as a pastor, you know the needs of people. And I was preaching and preaching as hard as I knew how to preach that particular day and just preaching the Word of God. And all of a sudden, the people I was preaching to, along with some of the other people, didn't seem to really matter that day. Nothing I preached, whether I raised my voice, I got quiet, or moved up and down, or went down, nothing happened that particular day, and the people that I wanted to respond never responded that day. I got in my car on Monday morning, and I was headed down on the other side of Richmond, Virginia, to go to a board meeting of a college that I was on the board, And I was talking to the Lord about this particular service. Lord, why didn't so-and-so respond? Why didn't this person amen this? Why didn't this person come to the altar? What happened that day that they didn't seem to get what I was preaching? I tried to make it as simple as I knew how. Lord, what happened? And the Holy Spirit of God laid this particular verse on my heart, and I went back the next day, and I worked on it that week and prepared the message and preached to my church that Sunday morning a number of years ago. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, we understand that verse to simply mean that where there is no proper revelation, where there is no proper view of the Word of God, people become ungovernable, unruly, disorderly, without restraint. On the other hand, people who really get the Bible, get a proper view of what that means to me, those people are happy people. And oftentimes, we as fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptists preach the Bible. The problem is not that we don't know the Bible, don't hear the Bible, but we don't have a proper view of what the Word of God says. And so when it's talking about where there is no vision, where there is no proper view, where there is no proper revelation, where there is no proper understanding of what you hear preach, you can perish. I don't mean you die and go to hell or anything like that, but you can become, as we see all the time, ungovernable, disorderly, unruly. We can become slothful, sinful, selfish, stubborn, uncaring, worldly, stingy, as we see all the time in people in good, fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches. Yet people who get the Word of God, you ever seen as a preacher, I preach many times, and people that I thought should have responded didn't, and the people that I thought didn't need to respond did. Because the Word of God has a way of revealing or showing me a view of what it means to me personally and works on a way in my life that it changes what I do. Where there is no vision, people like us can perish. We become ungovernable, unruly, without restraint, uncaring, callous in the things of God. And so I want to preach this morning on this particular passage. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And what I want you to get from the very beginning, when I'm talking about a vision, I'm talking about a proper view or a proper revelation of the Word of God and what it means to you, that it will affect your life enough to bring about a change. If I hear that and hear that and don't have a proper view or proper revelation of the Word of God, I can perish, become ungovernable, unruly, uncaring, callous, hard-hearted, and never understand what God wants me to do. So I want to preach at the beginning of this missions conference a vision every Christian, every church member ought to have about missions. Now make sure you follow me along before I get into this, that you understand. When I say vision, I'm talking about a proper view of the Word of God when it comes to the subject of missions. That's what I want God to do for me in the very beginning of this conference. God, I want a vision. I want a proper view. I want a proper revelation. I want a proper understanding of what the Word of God says. I'm not concerned about my brother or my sister here. God, I want you to show me something. Do something in my heart when it comes to world evangelization that will change my life. Now, we understand in the Bible that God spoke to prophets by visions. Sometimes they were dreams, and sometimes they were other ways. There was no written word of God, so God spoke to them in a vision, in a dream. If you ever study visions in the Bible, you'll find that when a prophet had a vision, he better have a proper view of it, and that proper view, he better carry it out, or it affected his life, sometimes in death. and sometimes in a lack of privilege. Now, God doesn't give us those kind of visions today. I don't want you to go out thinking that you need to have a vision. You need to have a big something show up in the clouds that's going to change your life. God doesn't speak that way. If you do that, you ate some of this New Mexican food that got you all dreaming. I've done that a few places I've been. But I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about when I hear the Bible preach, I want to have a vision of it. Now, to illustrate that, I'm going to use several visions that God gave prophets in the Bible, and I want you to notice when they had a proper view of that vision, it changed their life. And then I want you to think, as a Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Baptist Christian today, I want you to understand when you hear the Word of God preached or taught, or when you read it, I want you to say, God, give me a proper view of what you're saying. Holy Spirit, take that, move upon my life, that it may change me the way it changed that prophet in the Old Testament when he had a dream. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We want a proper vision every Christian ought to have about missions. The first one I want you to turn is the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah, one of the four major prophets, had a vision. And I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about the great man of God. He had a vision, and that changed his life. Here's the first vision every member of New Heights Baptist Church needs to have when it comes to missions. If you're going to do what God wants you to do in missions, whether it's going, giving, praying, serving, you need this vision in your life. Isaiah chapter number 6. Beginning in verse number 1, you follow along as I read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved by the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. And then here's one of the most familiar, preached on, claimed, life-changing verses you'll ever hear in the Bible that's so misappropriate. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Notice what Isaiah said. Then said I, Here am I, send me. The first vision every Christian ought to have is the vision Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6. He had a vision of self and his relationship to God. Every Christian, when it comes to mission, you need a vision of yourself, your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, when we talk about thou art God, when we talk about who we're serving, when we talk about who's calling, when we talk about who I'm praying in the name of, when I'm talking about why I'm involved in missions, I need to have a vision. I need to have a proper view and a proper revelation of where I stand with God. Now, here was Isaiah, the great prophet of God. There came a time when the king died, when he took his eyes off the king and put his eyes upon God. It changed his life. And I want you to follow along what happened. Before Isaiah could ever say what he said in verse number 8, people fail to understand. You can't claim verse number 8 until you have the vision in your life that he experienced in verses 1 through 7. And here's what happened. First of all, I want you to notice, he became conscious of God's position in verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, also, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And notice what happens when he got his eyes on the Lord. He said, notice the respect he had for that position. He was high and lifted up. And verse number 2, notice the reverence he saw for that position. He saw that the angels, the seraphims, were humbled by what they saw in God. He noticed the response in verse number 3. They were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah became so conscious of God that when he took his eyes off King Uzziah and everything that was going on, he took a look at God and he saw something about God. He saw something that never changes about God. He's always high and lifted up. He's always holy for God the Father, holy for God the Son, holy for God the Holy Spirit. And when Isaiah saw God, which every Christian, every day of his life, needs to take a look at the God that we serve, and all he could say was, wow, wow, look at God. When the last time you were so wowed by what you saw in God, how holy he is, how high he is. Thou art God. He's not a God. He's God Almighty. And when Isaiah took a look at God and the reverence he had and the holiness of God and the position of God, he said, wow, look at God. And the very next thing happened in his life when he became conscious of God's position, there was nothing left for him to do was to be convicted about his predicament. Notice what he said. Woe is me. He said in verse number 5, for I am undone. I'm condemned of my guilt. He said in verse 5, because I am a man of unclean lips. He said, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, all of a sudden, I said, wow, look at God. And when I saw God, I saw me. And I saw myself is undone, unholy, incapable of being used by God for what he wanted it to be done. So after he said, wow, look at God. Whoa, look at me. Oh, I found somebody that I'm okay with. I look around and can find somebody that's worse than me. I'm all right compared to some people. But when I saw him, I saw all the imperfections in my life. And then he said, I needed something. He said, when I became conscious of God's position, who's never moved, he's always high and lifted up. He's always holy. He's always been God. I said, wow. And then I said, whoa, look at me. Undone, unclean. I'm not talking about the average Joe Blow. I'm talking about Isaiah, the prophet, not a minor prophet, a major prophet. When he saw God, he said, wow. When he took a look at himself, he said, whoa. And then he said, I need something. I need something in my life. Notice what he said in verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon the mouth and said, my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. I want you to get this. When he became conscious of God being high and lifted up, so holy that the angels were humble in his presence, he said, whoa, look at me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I dwell in the midst of a people, for mine eyes have seen the King. Woe is me. Then he says, you know what? Because I'm so conscious of who God is, condemned because of what I am, I need some cleansing in my life. And the picture of those seraphims putting those coals is a picture of the forgiveness and the forgetfulness of God. And when Isaiah was cleansed, he went from saying, wow, look at God. Whoa, look at me. To saying, well, here am I. You see, the problem today is that too many people that want to say, well, here am I, who have not been cleansed vessels enough because we don't see that God's not in the hard up business. God wants servants who on a daily basis will keep their sins confessed, their vessels empty, filled by the Spirit of God that can say, wow, look at God. Whoa, look at me. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me and make me a vessel that you can call, you can commission, you can feel to go to some place in the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this question in the missions. Are you a vessel that God can use? Or maybe you need to take a look at him and say, wow, look at God. I guarantee you it'll cause you to say, whoa, look at me. And you'll say, God, empty me, cleanse me, that you can fill me. And I'll be able to say, well, here am I. I'm a vessel that you can use to help reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first vision every Christian needs to have in his or her life is a vision of self and your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes. You know, I think God still is in the calling business in the mission. Out of mission conference. I believe God looks down in the local church. He's looking for men, women, boys, and girls that he can call to be missionaries, that he can call to give themselves to the Lord. But I think sometimes we're not wild enough about God to be woed about ourselves, to be cleansed up, to be able to say, well, here am I, send me. Where there is no vision of self and his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, people will perish. They'll sit in pews, they'll hang in the world, and they'll do everything except using their time, talent, and treasure by Almighty God to reach a world. Where there is no vision, people like us perish. First vision we need is the vision of self. Then let's go to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. God, give me a vision. Give me a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without that vision, I can perish. I could be a man, woman, boy, and girl sitting in a Bible-believing church and perish, be uncaring, not being used of God, find everything in the world to do except give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I'm wowed by God, I'll be wowed about me, cleansed enough that I can say, well, here am I, send me. A second vision every Christian ought to have in the local church is what Paul had in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard the voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. The second vision every Christian ought to have is a vision of service through the local church. I want you to picture the Apostle Paul, this great example. Paul had a vision for service through the local church. If you notice in this passage in verse number 5, he got saved God's way. In verse number 6, he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? We find him down in verse number 11, whether he said he prayeth. Paul got saved, surrendered to God's word, sought God's will. He got scripturally baptized. And the rest of his life, he served in God's work. He was an immediate witness, an instant testimony, an impact upon others. God, give me a vision of service through the local church. The local church is where I ought to give my time, my talent, and my treasure. God, help me to understand. It's not a social club. It's not just a place I pop in every once in a while. It's a place where I can plug in and give it my time, give it my talent. You see, the church is the program of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is where Jesus is preeminent. The church was purchased with his own blood. And God, after I get saved, give me a vision like Paul to get saved God's way. And once I'm saved, to surrender to God's word and seek God's will for my life and get in my local church and not give the idea I'm doing the church a favor, but God, you're doing me a favor to put me in a good local church where my time, talent, and treasure count for eternity. Hey, let me tell you something that I preached for years and years at the church. I thank God for the church. I thank God for the local New Testament Fundamental Independent Baptist Church that after I got saved, I made a public profession of faith, got scripturally baptized, and got in. I learned how to give. I learned how to pray. I learned how to be a good husband. I learned how to give my family to the Lord. I can't tell you the value of a local church. And those of you who are members of New Heights Baptist Church, every time you walk in that door, you ought to say, I'm thankful that I'm in a church. I thank God that I'm in a church that has a mission conference. There are churches around the world that don't know how to spell the word missions. Thank God that I can be in a place where I can sing for the glory of God. Thank God that I can be in a place where I pay my tithes, give my offerings, give my missions, and have treasure laid up in heaven. Thank God that I can be in a place where someday I'm going to get a crown for my service. There's no place like the local church. It's the leveling ground. It's the only place where you can take the homeless person, the computer operator, you take the military person, take the doctor and the lawyer, put them all on the same level, and nobody's looking around because everybody's looking up. Thou art God. No place like that but the church. God, give me a better vision for my local church. Give me the kind of vision where my church talks about having a missions conference and the preacher wants me to be in every service. God, give me that kind of a vision. Give me the kind of a vision where we have missionaries coming that want to get on the field and through my local church, they're going to help us carry out the Great Commission. Give me that kind of vision. If not, I will do like thousands and tens of thousands and millions of fundamental born-again Christians sit on pews church after church, hear the Bible, and never do anything for the glory of God because there's no vision. Acts chapter 16, thirdly. First, we need a vision of self in its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, a vision of service through the local church. And then Paul had a vision in Acts chapter 16 that I want you to look at. Acts chapter 16, he said, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I need a vision of self, this relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision of my service through the local church. And thirdly, I need a vision for souls and their lost condition in this world. You know, sometimes you preach around and you wonder if we as Bible-believing Christians really believe that people die and go to hell. I mean, with the little amount of effort, the little amount of witnessing, the little amount of consistency, the little amount of giving, the little amount of being available, do we really believe that the rich man really lifted up his eyes in hell? And Paul said God gave him a vision that people were calling. The lost were calling, come over. Come over and help us. And Paul said he heard the command that God had commanded us to be witnesses. And immediately he knew that there was a need for laborers. And they went. Would God help us to understand that week after week there's a call that people outside of these doors are saying, come over. Come over, member of New Heights. Come over and help. I wonder how many people understand that God has commanded and that the labors are few. And God gave me enough vision to say, I could be one of those laborers. I could go. I could help. 1978, I got saved in 76. I was sitting at the Fairfax Baptist Temple, an independent Baptist church, and I was the pastor's, I mean, I was closer to him, and he said that than some of his deacons and even family members. And I was serving and served and serving. And one day I heard the call. God was saying, there's some people that look like you. You could stay here and be, my kids were in school, we're just doing everything. But there's a group of people over there that need churches like this. In 1978, I heard the call, heeded to the command, surrendered to the ministry, got trained, and went out to start planting fundamental Bible-believing churches, reaching people like me with the gospel. And those churches have been raised up over the years, and now those churches give over, collectively, over $1 million to world evangelization, reaching people around the world. God's looking for some people to realize that everybody doesn't have a New Heights Baptist Church. And it needs some people to have enough of a vision to say, I heard the call. Come over. Come over. Come over. And help. Help me. I don't have what you have. Come over. God, give us a vision that lost people in this world die without Jesus Christ. And then very quickly, the last one, Acts chapter 10. We need a vision of self, its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision of my service to the local church. I need a vision for souls and their lost condition in the world. And here's one that will help us when it comes to world evangelization. I need a vision of the Savior's love for all creatures. Cornelius prayed, and Peter had to have a vision. Acts chapter 10, verse number 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, it's the second time, what God hath cleansed, let that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men came that were sent from Cornelius, had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. If we're really going to understand the mission, I need a vision of self and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need a vision of the service through the local church. I need a vision for souls and their lost condition in this world. But I need a vision of my Savior's love for all creatures. And of course, we know the background here. Peter thought salvation was only for the Jews, and the Gentiles were like dogs and creeping things. And God had to show him something, that God looks at a world over almost seven and a half billion people. He doesn't see creeping things. He sees soul. And Peter had to learn something that we need to learn. I had to learn. People need to learn that God loves all people. In the rest of this story, you finish reading Acts chapter 9, you'll find out that Peter learned that everybody is reachable. He learned that everybody who is saved is responsible. He noticed that if you give the gospel to him, many people will receive it, no matter what the makeup of people will be. And once they are saved, God is no respecter of persons. And later on, he had to learn that the church need to receive everybody to get saved, get baptized, become a member of the local church, because God's in the business of reaching people to help people reach the world. And when we learn that there's nobody too bad to be saved, there's nobody that oftentimes we look at people as creeping things. God looks at people as people that need to be saved. You ever thought for a moment what you were before? before you met Jesus. If you ever want to have a chilling thought that'll help you to understand that God can save anybody, take a moment and think about what you were before God saved you. And it makes all the difference in the world to realize that everybody can be reached with the gospel. That's what makes missions such a wonderful, wonderful thing to be involved in. Where there is no vision, where there is no proper view, there is no proper revelation of the Word of God, people like those in Crossroads Baptist Church where I come from, a New Heights Baptist Church where you are today, we're people. We don't have a proper view of the Word of God that we read, we preach, we study, that will have an impact upon my life. I can perish. I can become ungovernable, unruly, uncaring. And by the way, don't look at me all pious like that doesn't happen among us. It happens among all of us all the time. I preach in churches from as small as 3 to several thousands. And I found something. People are the same every place they go. They're people. And we need to understand God chose to use people that he could save, call to reach your world. And there are too many of God's people that are perishing because we have no vision. God, give me a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord that I serve. God, give me a vision, a proper view of my service through my local. God, when I walk out of these doors, give me a vision that the man I see across the street is lost without Jesus. And God, when I see a slide presentation or hear a testimony of somebody going to Cambodia, help me never to think they're too bad off to be saved. Give me a vision of the Savior's love for all creatures. That's what I want out of this missions conference. God will give me a vision that changed Isaiah, that changed Paul, and God help it to change. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Paul, on the Damascus Trail, got saved God's way. Let me say to you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this missions will mean absolutely nothing. You're the mission field. You're the one that God cares about today, and he wants to save. Getting saved God's way is putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, admitting to him that you're a sinner, and asking him to forgive you and to come into your heart and save you. That's where it begins. And then God wants you here, if you are saved, to surrender to God's word. He wants you to seek God's will. He wants you to serve in God's work. He wants you to have a vision. And maybe today, as a man, woman, a young person today, you say, you know what I need, preacher? I need a vision to get me wild about God. I need God to look up and see how high and lifted up he is, how holy he is, and I need to be woed about me. There are things in my life that disqualify me from God really calling me. I need to be wild with God, woed about me, so I can say, well, here am I, send me. Preacher, I don't like my service in the local church. It's token service. I'm not concerned enough about people outside of these doors. And when I look at the world, I'm not concerned enough about the world to even give that they may be reached. And maybe today, in some of that area, God will speak to your heart. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many say, preacher, God spoke to my heart in one of those areas. And just like Isaiah needs the coals on his lips, I need them on my lips because I need a vision today. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one, as a Christian, would you just raise your hands for just a moment? God spoke to my heart in some areas. Thank you. God bless you. You may put them down. Maybe you're here today, you say, I'm not saved. I need to get saved God's way. If I died this moment, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me that I might trust Jesus Christ and get saved God's way? Anyone like that at all, would you slip your hand up for just a moment? Pray for me. Man, woman, boy, girl. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Invitation's going to play. If God needs, you need a vision, I want you to find your place here in the altar just for a moment today. You let God give you what he needs to give you, that missions might be what it needs to be. Our Father, we need every day of our life to have a vision of self and its relationship to the Lord. God, I'm wild every time I think about how high and holy, and I never, ever feel that I'm worthy to ever be used, and I'm always woed about my condition. Help us to be so wild about you and so woed about ourselves. until we can get those coals of forgiveness on our lips and be a vessel that you can call and we can say, well, here am I. God, give us a better vision of our service to the local church, a better vision of souls, a better vision of your love for creatures. That will change us. We're not talking about will just make us emotional, change us enough to have a real heartbeat for missions. Speak to hearts. If there be one here today that's never been saved, I pray they'll come today. Help Christian people that you've spoken to their hearts to come here today and let you do what only you can do in hearts. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.